Let's open our Bibles, if you would, please, to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. First book of the Bible, Genesis. Our theme for the year is building and rebuilding. And we were working through, just verse by verse, some of these key stories. And I think today will be something very a good turning point for all of us. And so we're in Genesis chapter. Look at that. Look at the pastor's Bible. Look at this. Look at that. And no, I don't need another one. I've got plenty, but you know, it's just my favorite one. So Genesis chapter 37, if you will. Genesis chapter 37. And if I had a title for the message, and I've got several, I would probably call this Overcoming Evil with Good. Overcoming Evil with Good. And before I forget, if you're new today and you've been saved in recent days, if you have accepted the Lord, we always allow people to be baptized after every service. It does not make you a member. It does make you wet. It's about 3 feet deep. It's heated. I checked on it today. Our lifeguard is here. We do have that. We've got towels. We've got robes. You don't need to bring anything. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you're deciding to receive Christ today as your Savior, you can get saved and be baptized the same day. And so just want you to know that's what that is. It's not an aquarium. There are no fish in it. We have enough fishermen that have done caught them by now. And so that's what that is. So our natural tendency is this. When evil is done to us, we return evil for evil. Hey, what comes around goes around, and I'm going to help it come around you right now. That's our natural tendency. But what God says, if you're going to overcome evil, it's always done by good. Very unnatural. Very unnatural. How many of you like to help people reap what they sowed? I love to help people reap what they sowed. And so I want to read part of this, and then we'll refer to it. So if you have a Bible, I will be looking at a good many scriptures. I think we'll be out right on time. If you do have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind, especially all the teenagers that are here, we want cell phones out of hands into pockets right now, please. And put it on vibrate. If you've got hearing aids in right now, please boot them up or whatever you need to do so they don't start going off in the service and it sounds like a bomb raid or something. And good. All right, so here we go. Genesis chapter 37. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah. And the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, how much evil can you do when you're out in a field with sheep? I have no idea. I guess those sheep are evil. I don't know. But somehow they were close enough to some towns. Maybe they were gambling. Maybe they were smoking something they shouldn't. Maybe they'd made friends with some of these evil people in the area. We don't know what the evil was, but Joseph told the dad about it. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So we'll be speaking about this subject. So just hang with me about 5 minutes, then we'll get into the points. Father, bless again this time. Help us. We are needy. We need help. This is the message you laid on my heart. These truths, they're so rich. We could talk days about it. We only have a few moments. Please help us, and please you explain it and apply it to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God used imperfect people to do amazing tasks. Many of them made the same mistakes that their parents made. Abraham lied. His son Isaac lied. His son Jacob lied and had a lifestyle of lies. Jacob's 11 of his sons lied and deceived. So some of them made the same mistakes. The story here we're going to explain has all the makings of a Hollywood movie. You've got villains, you've got youth, there's evil, there's suspense, there's the beautiful temptress woman, and then there's the happy ending. It's a very brief story of a favored son or a pampered son who is hated by his brothers that take him and sell him as a slave. He is actually sold twice. He ends up going from the bottom to the top. He gets lied about by a woman. He gets jailed. He helps interpret a dream for someone and they forget him. It just seems like it will never stop. But Joseph was like that fishing bobber. You push it down and it just keeps rising to the top. Cream always rises to the top. And finally, only God could do this. The king has a dream. They take Joseph out of prison. He interprets a dream. Because of it, they make him prime minister of the land. He goes from a 17-year-old teenager to ruling the greatest nation of his day, Egypt. They even made a Disney cartoon about it, Prince of Egypt. Okay, and a little commercial there. Sad, huh? Joseph is one of the few characters in the Bible where he served God from his youth all the way to his old age. There's many that serve God in their youth and waste their older age. There's some that waste their youth and then serve God their older years. Very few in the Bible, not a break. He served God his entire life. He's a wonderful example or a symbol of Jesus Christ. Jesus was loved and favored by the Father. Jesus had a special coat that they took when he was crucified. Jesus was hated of his brethren. Joseph was thought to be dead by his father. Jesus actually died on the cross, and his father knew that. And of course, Joseph ends up ruling the nation. One day, Jesus Christ will rule this world and be the perfect president and the perfect king. King Charles is just temporal right now there in England. One day it'll be Jesus, King of England, King of America, King of Africa, King of South America. He'll rule it perfect. You won't have to vote on anybody anymore. Who do we vote on? Jesus will be king for all eternity. Well, let's get back to the message here. So here's the question. Several questions are asked. How could anyone survive this and still believe in God? Sold by his brothers, lied about by a woman, thrown in prison, sold into slavery. He was a slave, forgotten in prison, and he still believed in God. It answers the question, what does it mean to be successful and prosperous? All throughout Scripture and the story, we hear the word, but God was with him and made everything he did to prosper. Most people don't look at a man in prison who has nothing and say, wow, look at him, dressed for success. Most people don't look at a lifetime prisoner and say, what prosperity? What is prosperity? Is it having a Super Bowl ring? Is it being married to some glamour model? Is it having a beautiful house and wonderful portfolio? Some of you say, what's a portfolio? You don't have one. And maybe having several earned doctorate degrees. What is success? Success is the presence of God in your life. He is in your heart. He is there with you. You're never alone. You never do anything alone. That's prosperity right there. You say, but Pastor, the question, how can evil ever be turned into good? All these evil things were done to Joseph, and it turned out good. We have several scenes from this story. We have Joseph in the pit, Joseph at Potiphar's, that was his owner, and then Joseph in prison, and then later, Joseph in the palace. We could call this message, when good things when bad things happen to good people. Now, let me just say this, folks. I don't know how much television you've been watching. I don't know how much, how many evangelists on television you tune in and watch. But this prosperity gospel is not Bible. And by that, I mean this. They'll tell you things like, if you become a Christian, you'll have no more problems. There'll be no suffering. Everything will be great. If you give to your church, you will be a millionaire. God will bless you. That's hogwash. Christian or no Christian, you're going to have problems. Christian, saved or lost, you're going to have afflictions. You're going to have problems. And if you don't prepare for that, you're going to walk away from God one day. Somehow we think if we love God, get saved, and we serve Him, that somehow makes God indebted to us to never let bad things happen to us. That's not true. God does not do bargains. He knows more than what we know. Bad things happen to good people. So we see, it's not what you go through. It's always how you respond to what you go through. We could take hours. One day up in heaven, we'll talk about it. We'll have plenty of time then. But we've got people in this room that have been through much affliction. An affliction that makes no sense. Why would this happen to them? They just happen to be standing there. Health issues, tragedies, deaths, disease, accidents, drunk drivers, arrests, family messed up, addictions, addicts, family, living under a bridge, homeless. We've had all sorts of things. And if you live long enough, I hate to tell you, this is bad news. I will get to some good news. You're going to get hurt. I spoke recently at a reunion, 50th reunion of our Christian school in Louisiana, where I was on staff. I looked out. I thought I was preaching at a senior citizens conference. And I was one of them. I looked at him and I said, at your age, there's one thing I know. I said, I don't know you. I don't follow you. I don't do social media. I hadn't seen some of you in 40 years, but I know one thing. At your age, your heart has been ripped out and torn to a million pieces. Every one of you. And I just saw tears starting to flow because they had. How did Joseph make it? How come his life takes up 13 chapters of the Bible? Why is this story so important? He went through four tests, and I want to share them with you. Four tests he went through and passed each test with flying colors. Test number one, adversity. Fancy word, adverse, it means against, city. It's the city you'll all visit. Adverse, city, where you live, adverse. Adverse city, life's going to go against you. There's going to be some things you didn't expect. You're going to get sucker punched somehow, not just physically, but emotionally, maybe spiritually, maybe domestically. And you're going to say, I never even saw this coming, Pastor. The Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Why did Joseph go through adversity? Several people caused it. Number one, his father. The Bible said that Jacob was his mother's favorite child. There was favoritism in the family. Now, let me just encourage you folks here. It's California. I know. It's second marriage. It's third marriage. It's fourth marriage. It's fifth marriage. It's my kids and your kids, and we're raising somebody else's kids, and we're raising relatives, and I don't even know who my dad is, and so forth. You can't have favorites in your family. They've all got to feel like we're all a part of the family. We're not a stepchild, not a half-child, not a half-brother, not a half-sister. When we moved in together, we are the family. We may be the Brady Bunch, but we're a family. And so his dad, not only was he his favorite son, the Bible says he was his favorite son. It's in the Bible. He gave him a special jacket or coat of many colors. He didn't give one to any of the other kids. They were shepherds. You don't wear a colorful jacket, long sleeve, from your neck down to your ankles if you're watching sheep. He gave him that so he could rule. I don't think his brothers enjoyed that. He got favorite treatment. So it caused a rift. Then the Bible says in Jacob's earlier days, when his brother wanted to kill him, he had four wives. Now, some people say, well, Pastor, in the Old Testament, they had more wives than one. Have at it. Have at it. Is it biblical? I don't care if it's biblical or not. Have at it. Have fun. Great. See how that works. Most people struggle with one. Now, don't forget, one wife equals one mother-in-law. And I love my wife's mother-in-law. I do. I always have. I got two wives. Have fun. Well, I got three. I got four. Hey, marry as many as you want. See how it works. So anytime there's more than one marriage, it complicates things. It gets harder. So his brother's going to come kill him. And being the great man that he was, he sends the children out front to meet his brother who's in a killing mood. Then he sends the three wives he didn't like as much. Then last, he sent the wife he really loved, and then Joseph. How you think those brothers felt? So we all get killed while Joseph gets saved back here. So the dad caused some of the adversity. Now, I want to say this. That's why some of you have had problems growing up in your life. It was a parent problem. Your parents did some things. They said something. And I'm not saying take your whole life blaming them. But it does add. When my dad got arrested, that did not help our family any financially. It did not help me at school when the teacher said, was that your dad on the front page of the newspaper? Was that your dad in the news? That didn't help me at all socially. So it was his dad caused it. Second, Joseph caused some of it. Joseph had a dream. He came to his brothers. He said, brothers, I had this dream. And we were like stacks of wheat. And you were all bowing down to me. That's what every brother wants to hear. You're going to rule. I'm going to rule over you one day. Thank you so much, brother. That is so great. Tell us all of your dreams. When he came out of the field, they said, we're going to see what becomes of his dreams. The dreamer cometh. We're going to kind of turn his dreams into a nightmare. That's what they thought. So Joseph added to some of his adversity. Just a lack of wisdom. He was a kid. He was 17. He shouldn't have shared his dreams. He probably shouldn't have said that. Then third, his brothers added to the adversity. They said, we're going to sell him. No, let's kill him. No, don't kill him. We need some money. We need some lunch money. We got to get a power drink on the way home from the field. And so they threw him in a pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar, an Egyptian leader. They sold their brother. He'd love to have had that reparation money they're trying to get in San Francisco. They sold him. Joseph was a slave. How humiliating. The Bible says in Psalms, they hurt his feet with fetters. When they looked on him in the pit, he was crying and screaming and begging for his life. He couldn't believe his brothers were selling him. Adversity, it's going to come. I spoke years ago in South Dakota, and they took me to this mink farm. And I'm not going to throw ink on your mink coats today, ladies. So. And I said, why are minks only raised or mostly raised in South Dakota? And they said, it gets so cold. It's got to be such harsh, cold weather for their fur to fur out. And sometimes God allows his children to go through some harsh weather. That's when the beautiful fur furs out on us. You say, well, I'd rather not have any fur, Pastor, if I got to go through this. Expect it. Prepare for it. More people point out evil and suffering as their reason for not believing in God more than any other reason. You ever try to talk to someone about God and they say, if there's a loving God, why all the evil and the suffering going on? And I want to say this, and we'll move to the next point. No one can ruin your life. except you and your response. There's people in our church been through horrendous upbringing. And guess what? They're at church today. They're at church today. How come? They responded correctly. Let me call the roll. His last name is Bliss. He wrote many of the hymns in our songbook. He was killed, I believe, age 39 in a train accident. His wife and him both were killed and burned up. I think of D.L. Moody. They built that beautiful building in Chicago in the 1800s. He's preaching to a great crowd. The great Chicago fire burns up most of the city of Chicago, burns up their church building. That was D.L. Moody. Charles Spurgeon dedicated their new building in London, England. Someone yelled, "There is a fire!" Some demon-possessed person. There was a stampede. 5 people were killed in that first Sunday of that new church. Spurgeon said, "I don't know if I'll ever preach again." Our buddy, Reno Likens, great youth speaker, had a stroke this past year. He'll probably never preach again. Joe Esposito, pastor in a great church in Long Beach, had a stroke. Doug Fisher, San Diego, several years ago, had a stroke. Won't be preaching again. Clint Cavanis, who did our marriage conferences all these years, went to heaven this year, suddenly. Ron Hamilton, patch on the eye, wrote all the children's songs. His wife speaks at the ladies' conference. He's now in heaven. Bad things sometimes happen to good people. But sometimes God can use those things for good. There's a Guzman family that's attended our church for years and decades. It started with a drunk driver, someone killed in a car wreck, and soon the whole family was brought to Christ. There's a Robledo family that comes to our church. Several years ago, there was a motorcycle wreck here in Napa. The brother was killed. 9 relatives accepted Christ as their Savior. 7 went through discipleship. Some of them still come to church here. A bad thing, God can turn it into a good thing. Number 2, second test. Adversity. How you doing? You passing that one? Number 2, thank you for your honesty. Did you say no? Strike on that one. Well, maybe you'll get the next 3. Allurement. In Genesis chapter 39, the whole chapter deals with this. And we see that Joseph he's serving in Potiphar's house. He's a slave. Verse 3, made everything to prosper. Verse 5, God put him over everything. Verse number 7, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." She owned Joseph. Her and her husband owned him. He was their slave. Kind of here's what she did. Come here. Hey, you. Come here. You and me. Come here. Allurement. The Bible says, "Let no man say when he's tempted, 'I'm tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. But every man," that's man, woman, boy, or girl, "every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust or desires and enticed." What's that mean? We'll all face the test of allurement. Come here. Come here. For him, it was lust. She said, "My husband's not around. Here's the bed. Come here. Very forcefully, lie with me." And then she said, well, just lay next to me. No, not going to do it. Well, just be in the room with me. Come here. And it was day after day after day. What's alluring you? Teenagers at TikTok dares, by the way, get off of that nonsense. That's the pastor's thought on that. Stop talking to people you don't know. Get off some of that knucklehead social media where people are trying to kill you and get you to do dangerous things. Get off the social media where they're trying to bully you and trying to make you feel less than who you are. Stop talking to knuckleheads. Amen. You say, "You called him a knucklehead." Tell him I said so. Amen. Send him the CD. Who is it alluring you? Is it drugs? Is it a gang? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it pornography? is that some back, you may say, well, I don't have courage to do some of these evil things. So here's what happens. You admire someone that does have the courage to do something wicked. So now it's easier for you. You better, who's alluring you? A backslider? Some wicked person? Is it wicked music? Is it wicked television shows? Is it sexting? Is it texting someone your parent doesn't want you to communicate with? Is it thinking about running away from home? Is it entertaining suicide? What is alluring you? We fish sometimes and fish. Oh, just saying the word helps me feel good. We fish sometimes in Cabo. Every fish has a different lure. So here's the Dorado, these little small lures. We pull those lures past them. They don't like it. We change the color. Pull it past them. They don't like it. We pull them slower. We pull them quicker. We jig them. We pull them. And all it takes is for them to say, I want it. And now they're in the boat flopping around. And the devil would love to have every one of us in his boat flopping around. It doesn't matter what lure he gets us in. It's going to be something we want. Be careful what you want. It's our desires that make us be tempted. Satan can't read our mind, but he can say, oh, I know what you want. I've always wanted to be married. Well, I got the right guy or the right girl online. You're going to meet them, and they're going to drag you out of church. He knows what you want. I've always wanted a house with a little picket fence and a little dog. I don't know if I can ever afford one in California. I guess we're going to move to Rhode Island. He knows right what to drag in front of you. What is it that is doing this to you right now? So many illustrations, don't have time to give them. Number next. Third test that he had to pass was advancement. Advancement. So the woman lies about him. He runs, she grabs his coat, Potiphar's wife. She lies and said, he did this, and look, and here's his jacket to prove it. And so he's thrown into prison. He's lied about it. He's lost his good name now. All he did was right, and it didn't pay, he thought. Time passed. He knew how to interpret dreams. Pretty soon, the king has a dream. And the king sends for Joseph out of prison and said, I heard you can interpret dreams. He said, yes, sir. He said, but it's not me. It's God. And all throughout that chapter, chapter 40 to about 44, he says, God has done this. And God has brought me here. And God has led me here. You know what Joseph did? He's responding correctly. He didn't get bitter at God. Where are you? All I did was live right, and I'm in jail. Where are you? No, he kept the right attitude. Advancement. And we can read the verses later on, but chapter 41, verse number 25, Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh was one. God had showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. There's about to be a worldwide famine. Joseph is going to save the world, so to speak. And then we see in verse number 28, it says, this thing I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do. Then in verse number 32 and then verse 40, he says, thou shalt be over my house. Pharaoh says, I'm going to promote you and you're going to run the country. I said, Pastor, what's all this mean here? He passed the test of advancement. Many people come to Jesus in the valley. And then they leave Jesus when they get on top of the mountaintop. I could call the roll. I'm not real concerned when you're struggling through a valley, because I know you're praying. I know you're reading the Bible. I know you're going to be at church. But it's when you start getting blessed and you get some toys and you get some things and you get a little leadership at work and you get some raises, and you get a little power, and you get a little recognition, then it's easy. See you later, alligator. I call you when I need you. You'll be back. Because what God gives you, he can take back away. Because it's not yours anyway. Walk humbly. You know who I'm nervous about? Those who God's blessing. That's what makes me a little bit nervous. those who are advancing, those who are starting to be blessed. Careful, walk humbly. Walk humbly. Stay in church. Stay in the Word of God. Be careful. Someone said, if you ever pass a fence post and you see a turtle sitting on top of it, it had help getting there. He didn't get there by himself. And let me remind you, you didn't get to where you are by yourself. You know, I wish when I first came here, I'd have videoed and took a picture of everybody their first Sunday when they came in. And I just said, tell me about your finances. Tell me about your issues. Tell me about what you're going through now. And then fast forward 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Now tell me how it's going. Oh, Pastor, it's so much better. And look what God's done for us. And careful. Some people can't pass the test. Too much sunshine kills the flowers. Being in the spotlight too much on the Hollywood stages will burn you. Pastor, I just got a raise at work. Uh-oh. You just don't want us to have anything, Pastor. You're just a spoil sport. Then the last test, quickly. Now we're finished. Chapter number 42. And we can't go through the whole thing. You'll just have to read it on your own, okay? But here's the story in the nutshell. If you're a new Christian, here's how it went. So Joseph is now promoted. He oversees all the grain, all the harvests in the country of Egypt. His brother's family is just about to starve to death over there in Canaan. They hear Egypt has corn. They send a delegation. You remember the brothers that sold him as a slave. Joseph plays a little cat and mouse game back and forth with them. He's now got a beard. Or he looks older, and he's speaking Egyptian. They don't recognize him. He comes in. He speaks to an interpreter. What do you want? Want corn? Do you have a brother? Yeah, I got another brother. One of them's dead. They're referring to him. They figured he was dead by now. Went on. Go back. Come back. Come back. Come back. Finally, he sticks his silver cup in one of their bags. Has it hidden? He says, why did you guys steal from me? What do you mean we stole? Now they're all bowing down. And the Bible says, then Joseph remembered the dreams. Let me say this. Maybe you've had some dreams shattered. Maybe some dreams look like they'll never happen. Keep dreaming. It was 13 years later, Joseph said, I remember this. He had to pass the test. What would you do? 13 years spent as a slave because of his brothers. You know what Joseph said? I am Joseph. It'd be more like a Hollywood movie, like Darth Vader. I am Joseph. And the Bible says his brothers were terrified. I would have added this too. I don't know how you put that in the Bible, but you better beg, man, because you're about to see your maker. Here's what Joseph said. Later, he saw his dad. He said, I got two boys now, Dad. You know that woman chasing me? I got a good wife. I got two sons. Their names are Manasseh and Ephraim. One's name means forgetting. The other's name means fruitful. What's that mean? You're going to pass your test? You're going to have to forget some things. Well, I'll always remember. That's your problem. You're going to have to forget some deep valley, some heartache. Get your mind off of it. Move on. David moved on. He said, Dad, these are my two sons. Forgetful, forgetting, and fruitful. David looks at his brothers. Here's what he says. You sold me into slavery. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. He said, now I will save our nation and save our family. He said, Pastor, okay, so I get it now. So here's this good kid. All this evil happens. Sold as a slave, feet are hurt, lied about, in prison. Paul, that doesn't make... Why would a loving God allow all that? Because 13 years later, he's saving the world. Right now, you may say, why is a loving God... The story's not over yet, folks. Why would a loving God let his son die on a cross and shed his blood? That makes no sense. Well, sure, I'm glad he did it, aren't you? Amen. The world's worst thing happened to the world's best person. Why? Because God meant it for our good. You ever wonder why the world calls the day Jesus got crucified Good Friday? Really? He's nailed to a cross. Good. What a good day. Friday. Good. Oh, yeah. For us. Not for him. It may not be good for you. But God says, I'm so good at this. I can turn it into good. Amen. Down the road. But you're going to have to respond correctly. How you doing on your tests? And then I'm finished. Adversity. Someone else caused it. You caused it. Don't know why it happened, but it happened to you. How you doing with that? Allurement. What's trying to get you to cross some line? How you doing with that one? How about advancement? Now, you got your license back. You're not out of jail. You're drug free. You whipped some addiction. You own your business. You're doing good. You're tithing. You own a house. You own a car. I mean, things are starting to shape up. How you doing with that? Are you just as involved in church and with God as you were when you were in the valley, or less? And then last, animosity. Who is it that's hurt you deeply that you have chosen not to forgive and move on? I doubt anybody sold you as a slave. I doubt anybody chained you up and hauled you 600 miles. I doubt anybody imprisoned you for years in a dungeon. If Joseph can forgive, I bet we can too. Amen. Pass those tests and God says, I'll prosper you. Amen. I'll prosper you. Now there's the test. See, there it is. The Lord saying, hey, hurry up and pass the test. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of life is going to make sense. Because he says all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Those that are saved. To unsaved people, life's just a lot of mess. To saved people, we don't know why, but we know there is a why. Because of our Lord.